episode 14 of Welcome to Level 7 Comic Book Tie-Ins.
Welcome to Level 7, the podcast about Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Welcome to Level 7. I'm Ben Avery, and I am so excited to be here to talk with you, whoever you might be, wherever you might be, about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I am joined by someone I do know the name of, and I know Daniel. He's listening because he's in my headphones right now.
Daniel Butcher.
How you doing, Daniel Butcher?
Well, I've been trying to do some math, Ben.
Yes.
So we're welcome to level 7. So mm-hmm. We've always assumed that we are equally at level 7. But after I defeated you in fantasy football.
Oh, come on now.
Does that in fact make me level 8 and you like 6?
Okay. First of all, it's not fantasy football if it doesn't have dragons and magic and swords. That's all I'm saying.
I felt like it was magical.
Yeah. I just recorded another podcast where I got trash talk against by my other hosts from that other podcast, and now you're bringing it on.
And they didn't even bring me in.
No. Didn't have to.
They really should have. I could have really broken it down for them. What went right? What went wrong for you?
Yeah,
much like what we're going to talk about today. What went right? What went wrong?
Can we talk about Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and the Marvel Cinematic Universe instead, please?
You'd probably have a better time with that.
I definitely would have a better time doing that. So today's a little bit different. We're not talking about things that you can buy to watch on the TV. We are talking about things you can read on a screen, but if it's going to be on a screen, it's because you're doing it through a Comixology app or the, what is it called, for Marvel's Ultimate?
Marvel Ultimate app, which is like Netflix for Marvel Comics.
Okay. Which is that's a yearly fee kind of thing?
Yep.
Okay. So, yeah, we're talking about comic books. Specifically, we're talking about the tie-in comic books that tell stories about the characters from the movies within the universe of the movies. Now, Captain America, he has his own comic book that's been going on forever. But that doesn't have anything to do with the movie other than it informs some of the plot ideas in the movie and the characters. These are stories that are meant to go along with the movies and actually in some cases to fill in holes for the movies.
Like, have you ever wondered to yourself, where was Rhodey during the Battle of New York?
Yeah, or
we now know the answer.
What was S.H.I.E.L.D. doing? Why were they not really seen much in The Incredible Hulk? Or seen at all, rather, in The Incredible Hulk. And so a lot like the Marvel one-shots, these kind of fill in the cracks there. And so what we're going to do here is we are going to be spoiling these stories, I think. Even though I'm fairly certain that most of the people who are listening to us right now have not read these comic books, we're going to be spoiling these. So I think up front, Daniel, for anyone who doesn't want to be spoiled, I think we should kind of talk through what we would recommend people actually read.
Okay.
So they can go and get those. And we'll actually have a place, if you go to welcometolevel7.com/bookstore, we'll have a place where you can actually order these graphic novels if you're interested in them.
Or if they're actually collected.
Yeah, well, there are a couple that you're going to have some trouble getting to. After that, where we're kind of giving our recommendations, then we'll kind of get into some of the spoilery talk where for those of you who are interested in what you might find in these, but aren't interested in actually finding them, we'll kind of give you some of the lowdown of what they were saying, like what you said, Daniel, about where was Rhodey during the Battle of New York. It's an interesting subject we're taking on right now. I did not read any of these until we were going to do this podcast.
And I had read one issue of the Iron Man 3 prelude, and I was pretty bored. I mean, I read one.
So I think that's probably the biggest problem with these, is a lot of these I would label as not necessary. And unlike the Marvel one-shots that we talked about in our last episode, which, man, Marvel one-shots gave us level 7. That was the first mention that, as far as I can understand, of level 7, the first mention of the World Security Council. And that was just in...
Coulson as an action hero.
And it gave us Coulson's first action beat. And then it gave us, you know, kind of a mini pilot episode of what Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. could look like with Item 47. And then it gave us Agent Carter, which is just fun.
Fantastic.
Just a good short film.
Yeah, I literally think, and actually I do believe that most fans of the MCU probably have not checked in on these.
Yeah.
I've seen them laying around in like Barnes and Nobles in front of the magazine rack at a place where small children would be able to find them, but I think that most adult fans just aren't checking into these because and I don't blame them.
Yeah, there's a lot. And I'm just going to quickly go through what you can find, what there is. I think it was around the time, or rather between Incredible Hulk and Iron Man 2, they did a comic that was called Iron Man, Hulk, Nick Fury. And it was just three short stories about Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, and Nick Fury. I think they started out as digital comics. They were digital comics first, and then they were made available as a print edition. My comic store actually had like three or four copies of it still on the shelf. And, you know, so it's something you can track down at cover price, but they're not needed. The Nick Fury story at the end of that book, I don't even know why it's in there. It doesn't do anything except for just give you a short little spy story that has crossing and double crossing. It's an okay story, but it's not necessary. Then you had a graphic novel called I Am Iron Man that was just an adaptation of the Iron Man movie, and it had a couple extra things in it. But honestly,
I will say this though, because this I have not read every one of these like you have. I've probably read about 3/4 of them, just because they're not the easiest thing to get your hands on. And again, I'm somebody who has the Marvel Ultimate Service, and not all of these are even in here. We were in that service. We were talking earlier about one of them, which is one of the better ones, and how I can't access it through that this service at this time. But the thing about this I Am Iron Man, I will give them a little bit of praise because they've added some things, especially S.H.I.E.L.D. things to this one, where when we talk later about the Thor adaptation in a comic – which is, I don't believe you've read that
one. Yeah, that's the one I haven't had a chance to read.
They don't slide in any of that extra. So when you see S.H.I.E.L.D., you see S.H.I.E.L.D. in the scenes from Thor that included Coulson and Hawkeye, but they're really just frame for frame, beat for beat, exactly what you saw in Thor the movie. It's not really adding something where I will argue I Am Iron Man gives you at least the impression that even though they're mostly adapting the film straight through, at least they're trying to show you, hey, S.H.I.E.L.D. was around.
Yeah.
Iron Man was on their radar for longer than 15 seconds.
They did an Iron Man 2 adaptation, and they did a story called Public Identity that took place between Iron Man and Iron Man 2. They did a comic called Iron Man 2 Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., which gave us actually a fairly decent one-shot with Coulson. Just, you know, maybe 8-12 pages, but it's a Coulson story, and that's kind of cool. There was a graphic novel called Captain America First Vengeance. And I, of all of these, that's probably the best one. I enjoyed that one the most. It was kind of an introduction to Captain America. It gave a lot of background to a lot of the different characters. You got to see the Howling Commandos and kind of where they came from as far as they're being put in prison, being imprisoned in the movie. And you could see the background for Red Skull. You get to see some Howard Stark gets a good scene in there. And that one is collected in a graphic novel called The Avengers Road to Marvel's The Avengers. That's a pretty awkward title, but, you know, that's what it was. Which... it's probably, of all of them, it's the best. It includes I Am Iron Man. It includes Public Identity, which is the in between Iron Man and Iron Man 2. It includes the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. thing with Coulson, and it includes Captain America First Vengeance. Of all the books, if you're wanting to read comics about the Marvel Cinematic Universe, that's the one to go for. Oh, Black Widow Strikes. I didn't mention that one. Black Widow Strikes, which was a solo adventure for Black Widow. And then they did a book called Fury's Big Week, which was interesting, but at the same time frustrating. And we'll talk about why in a little bit here. But finally, they're doing right now Thor Dark World Prelude. Two issues that kind of fill in the cracks between Thor and the Avengers in Thor Dark World. So of all of these, I recommend, if you're interested in reading about any of this stuff, Avengers Road to Marvel's The Avengers is a good book. Fury's Big Week is okay. It gives you some background stuff, and it was my first realization that all of the events in those movies, Iron Man 2, Incredible Hulk, Thor, and Captain America's present-day stuff, is all took place in 1 week.
Hey, if Thor can find a lady and fall in love in an entire weekend, I mean, why couldn't all this action happen in 1 week?
The problem with these comic books is they try and fill in some of the gaps. All of these, I just say, don't bother.
If you're a completionist, go ahead and bother.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
But I will say, I mean, obviously I'm interested in S.H.I.E.L.D., and this is not on my radar of anything that I need to add to any of my collections here. Just because, honestly, unless I needed to reference them and I just couldn't do it through an app that I already have access to, I probably just wouldn't reference them.
Yeah. I mean, Fury's Big Week, like I said, a lot of these, if they try and add anything to it, and I think this is a big weakness to the comic books, is that they aren't able to push anything forward and they're not able to reveal anything that could contradict what happens on the screen, which is what happens in that first comic that they give us. And I think now is where we're going to get into some of the spoiler stuff. So the Iron Man Incredible Hulk Nick Fury one, it's a little bit contradictory as far as Nick Fury, he wants to go and meet the Hulk for himself and find out about the Hulk. And then basically he goes on, after doing that, he says, okay, well, we're not going to bother with Hulk. That's Ross's problem. We're not going to mess with it. We're not going to worry about Hulk. And it just then, okay, well, that's why they weren't there in the Incredible Hulk movie, because it's Ross's problem and we're not going to mess with it. But then they go on with Fury's Big Week, and it turns out S.H.I.E.L.D. was there all along. And you actually get to see, in Fury's Big Week, it's interesting because you see them, they find the ship that Captain America was frozen in, and you see some Security Council stuff. But then you also have the scene in The Incredible Hulk, where in the lab with the leader, and you actually get to see the whole situation fall. Romanoff is there. Natasha is there. And it's interesting because, well, I didn't expect her to be there. But it's a diversion. It's interesting, but I'm not.
But back then, when we did our episode on The Incredible Hulk, one of the debates that we had was, did Stearns make it?
And in this book, he did.
And you won that argument because at that point you had read this.
Yeah.
And it made it very, very clear that Stearns had made it out. So, I mean, again, I think what we find with this is they attempt to fill in gaps that maybe as a movie watcher you wondered about. Now, like in the case of the Avengers and where was Rhodey? You know, I find out a year later where Rhodey is. So it didn't really it hasn't added to my Avengers watching experience because I didn't say, oh, well, Rhodey was out doing.
Now, with Rhodey's situation, he was off on another mission. And then when he finally gets to New York, he gets there, everything's done, and he gets to go in and Tony tells him to pull up a chair. Where they're
because it's shawarma.
Yeah.
That's literally the cut. The director says cut, and Rhodey walks in.
Yeah. So, I mean, and they do that kind of thing with the Thor Dark World one, too. Now, the Thor Dark World one is the one I thought, okay, well, this is going to answer the question about the dark energy and all that kind of stuff. And it does. But a lot of that one, again, you just feel like it's just trying to fill in the gaps. It's just trying to tell the story that couldn't fit on the screen, couldn't make it on the screen, and it ended up on the cutting room floor, but let's go ahead and we'll pull it out.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of these. They don't get me overly excited. But if we're going to use these to help us get ready for the show, I think the first question is what does this add to Coulson?
Yes. And it gives us a nice little introduction to Coulson in the Iron Man 2 Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. book that was a comic book floppy. It was a digital comic book floppy, but then it's printed in Avengers Road to Avengers graphic novel. And you get a nice little short Coulson story. And it gives you some information, some background, and a little insight into how they may do some recruiting. Now, do you like this short Coulson story? I mean, it's Coulson. It's our man.
Yeah, and that's it. It's Coulson. It's my man. I like seeing Coulson on the page, especially since this is the movie Coulson. I do think we find out that, you know, Coulson is a cool cat. We find out that Coulson's not afraid to use deception.
Mm-hmm.
Because basically that's what's going on here is he's running a game in a recruiting effort. And it is really just a big, literally, it's a game. It's a play. It's not reality. But it works. I mean, he's able to recruit this guy, Hendrix, who wants to join after basically going through an action runaround.
I don't know. It's a decent little story. But again, is it necessary?
But it's 8 pages. I mean, it's what you're going to get in 8 pages.
And an 8-page story, by the way, is really hard to do well. It is very hard to do well to have any kind of interesting plot in comics. Anyway, it's a very difficult thing.
And they don't have the cheat, because when we talked in the last episode about Heroes and how I really like those digital comics, those were short stories, 5 to 8 pages. But the cheat was they were still able to do a 22 to 28 page story arc because they were just continuing with the same author and artist every week. So you get that 4 or 5 part story. Here, yeah, you just get 8 pages.
Yep. In that same book, you get an 8-page story about Natasha, and that gives you a little bit of background for her and information. I mean, you're seeing the workings of S.H.I.E.L.D. here in these three stories from Iron Man, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Now, I do want to jump to another one. I want to jump to this Fury Files Incredible Hulk, the post-bar fight. And I don't like the Coulson here. Because basically I feel like what we get at the end of this story is a Coulson who's been sent to the principal's office. Because he literally has a line where he says, "Well, we'll do better next time." You know, S.H.I.E.L.D. just fought the Hulk.
Yeah,
they're going to get beat up. There's no reason for Coulson to feel or even act any bit ashamed after getting beat around by the Hulk. So I don't really like that, because it's not like a Coulson who's like, "We learned this about the Hulk," or "We learned this about ourselves," or here's the lemonade out of our lemons. It's, "Well, I guess Principal Fury will do better next time. Thanks for setting up that whole debacle that we didn't really cause."
It's a weak story. Let's just face it. I mean, it doesn't make much sense. The whole idea is just Nick Fury wants to push Banner to become Hulk so he can see Hulk with his own eye.
And then Coulson's supposed to feel bad? I don't get it. But and then we flip into something like Fury's Big Week, where we see a Coulson again who is calling shots and doing weapons development and is so trusted that he's almost going on his own hunch and running his own separate operations.
Yeah. Now, the gimmick with Fury's Big Week is this is the events of those movies leading up to the Avengers through the eye again of Nick Fury and Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Do you like this setup? Do you like this kind of looking at movies or looking at stories you're already familiar with from a slightly skewed perspective, from someone else's perspective?
I generally don't jump to it, but I also knew before I even opened the page what I was getting into and that was what it was going to be, so I didn't get frustrated with it.
You know what this is?
And there's enough scenes that aren't in the film, where like the adaption books, they're especially the Thor one, scene for scene for scene for scene. That was great when I was 7 years old and I had my Empire Strikes Back comic book adaption that I wore out because I didn't have the ability to see or experience the film in any other way. I can go put the Avengers in right now. So I don't need frame by frame by frame by frame. So I guess what I'm saying is I'm okay with this just because it didn't go frame by frame by frame.
But you know what it reminded me of? Forrest Gump. It was Forrest Gump. It's like, let's put S.H.I.E.L.D. agents in the background of all these scenes, you know, okay, so they were there when Hulk was on his rampage at the university. You know, they were there when Hulk then was at the lab and hulking out, and they were there for the Battle of Harlem, and it just reminds me of Forrest Gump, only instead of Forrest Gump, it's Black Widow.
Well, I know how you feel about coincidence. You don't like coinkidinks.
I don't like that all those movies happened in 1 week.
Nah, and I don't even think it's necessary for them to all happen.
It is absolutely not necessary for them all to be in 1 week.
I mean, it's bad enough when you look at compressed time that Thor is 1 weekend. It could stand to be a longer movie. I learned a lot about myself in 48 hours. Yeah. It does get a little ridiculous that, well, we'll just move the weekend out to a whole week.
I like the S.H.I.E.L.D. stuff that's going on, though, and I like seeing the World Security Council. And
I like this Coulson. I like this take charge, knowledgeable, understands science, understands how to fight, understands leadership Coulson. I'm good with this Coulson. But let's back up. So did I really learn anything about Coulson that I didn't know without it?
No, I don't think so.
Do I like Coulson any better or any less because of it?
Not necessarily.
I'll argue I don't. I mean, the things that I like are based on the things that I already liked about Coulson. See, and this is really sad. I mean, we sound like we're just beating this up.
Are.
We're fans. We're fans of this stuff.
We're fans of the universe, and we're fans of comic books in general.
Yeah, and maybe this is just us saying, you know, let's be honest. It's not like I rubbed my eyes out as I was reading this, but compared to the excitement level that we have for other things within the MCU, this just doesn't measure up. It just doesn't measure up to an Agent Carter, for example.
Let me tell you where it does measure up. And it's interesting you bring up Agent Carter. It measures up in the Captain America stories. Now, there is a comic book that came out called Captain America and Thor, Avengers. And I had to get that on Comixology. I couldn't find it anywhere else for any kind of reasonable price. I'm so glad I did, because it is half a Thor story where it's Thor and Sif and Loki and, it's just a pretty standard fantasy story. But then it had the other half of that book is Captain America and the Howling Commandos on a mission together. And that is fun. It's a fun story.
It's fun, but does it add to
that one? Does not
appreciate?
No, it does not add anything except for the fact that I want some more Howling Commandos. And so I got it.
And are you gravitating to it because you really like Captain America stuff and the Howling Commandos in the same way that the Coulson scenes in these books, except for the one where it turns out he has to go to the principal's office, works for me because I want to see Coulson doing more, even if it's not really adding to his arc.
For this story, it's definitely, I wanted more of these guys, and here is a chance to get some more of these guys. I'm enjoying it.
Let's turn a little positive in. Maybe then that's what we're saying these do. If you're looking for more, and you're really trying to seek it out, this is a place where you could find more. It's not going to be as rich, and it's not going to be as deep as you're going to see in the MCU or in a one-shot, but it is a format in which you can get more about the characters that you like, especially if there's one you really resonate strong with.
I would say that there might be something to that. There's one problem with the fact that these are comic books, and they're about actors. The Iron Man on the screen is always going to be informed by Robert Downey Jr. And the problem is they're writing these where it falls flat the most for me, and that's where you have the most content, is Iron Man. Okay, and if Robert Downey Jr. was saying these lines, they might work better. But some of his lines, they're just meant to sound like the way that it sounded in the movies, and it just falls flat to me. If you're wanting more Iron Man, you're going to get more Iron Man, and he's supposed to be the same guy. It just falls flat for me because Robert Downey Jr. is not there to carry it.
Well, maybe that just shows that part of the character is in the delivery. Because if you had told me before I saw Iron Man that I would have enjoyed it, I would have laughed because I never liked Iron Man. And I will say now, the mainline 616 Iron Man, I do enjoy it now. But partially it's because of the fact that in my mind, even though it's 616, I still bleed back to Iron Man, Iron Man 2, and Robert Downey Jr. It's like I'm willing to welcome him more into my heart now.
Nice.
Aww.
Yeah. Trumpet. It's a beautiful feeling. It's a beautiful thing. The other thing that I'll definitely heap praise on is Captain America First Vengeance, which I already talked about a little bit. But that actually adds something to the story. It actually gives you some background. You know, you get to see Howard Stark before he joins SSR.
So what is it adding? Because I have not read this one.
It's a story about Captain America in the middle of a battle, basically. But then it does flashbacks. And so it takes you back to Hell's Kitchen when he was a kid, you know, with his mom and talking about his dad, who was a soldier and all that kind of thing. And then it goes back to the battle. And then it takes you back to Hell's Kitchen where he's getting beat up and there's, you know, there's Jim coming. And back to the battle. And then it takes you to these flashback to Manhattan where Steve Rogers is learning how to draw and learning how to box and trying to get, you know, drafted and all this kind of thing. And in the meantime, the story that is happening in the quote unquote present, 1944, where it's, you know, he's on a mission behind enemy lines. It's talking about some of this, you know, some of Red Skull's tech. Now, then you also get some flashbacks to Red Skull and Himmler.
Oh, okay.
You know, and so you get to see that. You get to see...
Not anybody fun.
Well, I guess it's your definition of fun, but you get to see flashbacks then also to the scientist that helped, that did the super soldier serum. What's his name?
Erskine.
And you also get, like I said, the Howard Stark flashbacks, which are probably the most interesting of them, but they're trying to recruit him for the SSR, the Strategic Science Reserve, am I right?
Yep.
Yeah.
Do they suggest that he might be able to do well with the ladies?
They do make that suggestion, yes.
Shocking. So yeah. It's not the Walt Disney Howard Stark.
The Walt Disney Howard Stark is later in life.
Yeah.
After he slowed down and stopped drinking so much, I think. We also do get to see Agent 13.
Interesting. But isn't Agent 13 going to be in Captain America, the Winter Soldier?
Yeah, but they do.
So are they going to call Sharon Carter Agent 13? And
well, that the one thing with that would be that, you know, let's just face it, the comic books are not as high up on the chain of canonicity, I guess. If that makes any sense.
I can't see them wasting an opportunity to call her Agent 13. Because it just sounds cool. And comic book fans are going to
She will be. I think she will be Agent 13 in the movie.
Well, then you could always say that it being Agent 13 is a Carter family tradition.
Yeah. You also get Dum Dum Dugan yelling, "All right, Holland Commandos, somebody give me a wahoo!" So
that made me happy.
Yeah.
Just hearing it.
And you get to see them in, you know, like I said, in the prison camp and working on the tech and stuff like that. And yeah, this is one that I would say, read it. If you liked the Captain America from the movie, grab it, read it, get the,
but how am I going to get it?
Well, in the Road to Avengers.
Okay.
It's collected. It's got its own collection, but it's also collected in the Road to Avengers. And if you get the Road to Avengers, you're getting all the extra stuff too. You'll get the Coulson story. You'll get the Iron Man 2 story that has a weird little thing with Tony Stark and his dad. You get to see them together as Tony's a teenager.
Do they go on a family vacation in an RV? Whoops, that's Aquaman and Batman Brave and the Bold.
They do not do that, sorry. It'd be nice, but they don't. So anyway, yeah. Do I feel like I've wasted time reading them? Probably not.
I was going to say, you better not say that. I mean, it's a comic book. You never waste time. Comic book.
They're enjoyable enough stories, but I'm just not saying run out and get them. I'm just saying, you know what? You can imply from the movies what you get out of these comics.
You know, if I went somewhere and I will admit, if I saw one of these for, I don't know, a buck. I wouldn't turn it down.
Yeah, well.
I don't know. I just, tie-ins are just so iffy for me. And it's not just these. It's anytime you do a tie-in, I mean, they seem... When I'm comparing it to things that are in the 616, the Marvel mainline, it's just clear there's just not as much story development, not as much time put into it. You know, they're there to help promote a movie.
Well, that's just it. We're looking at movie promotions here. These are not just serving the story where you're saying, okay, I've got a story to tell. Let's tell it. It's, yeah, let's sell the movie. And I think you hit the nail on the head right there. So... Anything else you want to cover with this? Because I wanted to ask you some stuff about some other things here.
Well, I do have one. I want to throw out there Fury real quick. Do we learn anything about Fury throughout these?
Not really. I don't think we do. The Fury we see in the Avengers is the Fury we see here. And we see him make some bad choices.
So some of these things occur before Avengers, so maybe... They could have helped inform us pre-Avengers, which some of these were trying to sell that movie. But post-Avengers, yeah, there's really nothing here.
Yeah,
I do think we need to tell everyone, since we foreshadowed it enough, where was Rhodey during the Avengers?
Where was he, Daniel?
He was in Asia fighting the Ten Rings. Because one thing you do find out throughout these books is that the Ten Rings has always been there. And the Ten Rings has always been something that has been tied to Iron Man and Rhodey and S.H.I.E.L.D. And throughout these comics, there is just a scattering of this terrorist group, the Ten Rings. And that's where Rhodey was. So he gets a phone call from Tony saying, hey, could you help in New York? And he's like, I'm busy, bro.
I'll say this. You know, this is a decent comic book fight. In Hong Kong there. It's a decent comic book battle. I enjoyed seeing it. And one thing I liked about it was it's not a comic book version of a screen battle. So they're able to tell the story as a comic book, you know, and
complete with sounds, right?
Right. All the sound. Comic book sound effects are some of my favorite things to write. I really like, the Walt Simonson sound effects in Thor, some of the way he incorporates, you know, the word into the picture with like the thoom or the bada boom or bada doon. There's some bad ones in here. There's scree boom and chathoom and grin. I don't know what that is supposed to be. G G R R R N N N. Grin. Is that like a really loud smile? I don't know, but Reet,
I'm happy in a loud way.
Yeah. I'm not happy enough to, you know, laugh, but my smile, it does the laughing for me. So, yeah, these aren't, I mean, technically speaking, they're decent stories. You're not going to be wasting your time reading them if you like reading comic books and if you like the movies. But I don't recommend running out. You have to have this because you aren't going to know the full story if you don't.
So what we're saying, in summary, is it's just a hot mess.
Well, I'm not saying that.
Well, I most definitely am.
Yes, you are. And I'm not going to deny you that. But yeah, there's some ups and some downs. So, so here's the thing. Here's my question then for you, Daniel. My experience with S.H.I.E.L.D. in the primary Marvel universe, the comic book universe, is kind of old school. Right now I'm reading Sergeant Fury from the 60s, which I'm really loving. And there's a essential graphic novel out there that has the first like 20 issues of that. It's just old fashioned, goofy World War II war comics. But what should people read then, as far as what you're reading right now, if they want Adventures of Coulson or S.H.I.E.L.D. in the main Marvel universe, the primary Marvel universe?
I got a marketing email this week from Marvel Subscriptions.
Yay.
And
what an honor.
Yeah, I'm on the list.
You made the list. Don't say, oh, I'm on the list. You made the list, man.
Yeah, I gave them my cash, dude. So the big headline on this is from your TV screen to the comics page. And then the big first story is S.H.I.E.L.D. is here with Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. TV series set to debut September, blah, 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 blah. Now is the time to catch up on all the clandestine adventures of the Marvel Universe's most secret agency of secret agents. You can find ongoing S.H.I.E.L.D. stories in great Marvel titles like Avengers, Secret Avengers, and Uncanny Avengers. Don't miss out on the action. Subscribe now. So Marvel Marketing is trying to tell me and you and all the listeners now that I've read this.
Right.
That these three books are the three books that are going to get you ready for the TV show.
Yes. Excellent.
So clearly this was written by somebody in marketing and not somebody who understands the multiverse of the Marvel Universe, or maybe even someone who's even read these books.
Because you're reading these books, right?
Yeah, yeah. So we actually have reviews up on our website for every issue of Secret Avengers. For the first trade of Avengers in the Marvel Now universe and the first Uncanny Avengers in the Marvel Now. So if you were to say what's going to teach – well, the first fundamental problem is universes. So these three books are all in Marvel 616, which is mainline Marvel Universe. The MCU is 1999-99. So they're not the same. And you're not going to see Sky, and you're not going to see May, and you're not going to see Ward in any of these books.
So you might see Coulson, though, right?
You will see Coulson. So in Secret Avengers, you're going to see a lot of Coulson, because he's been in all but two issues. And he's a member of the Secret Avengers team. And really, again, this is a marketing thing. Secret Avengers should be titled S.H.I.E.L.D. Because that is the book out of these three here that are really about S.H.I.E.L.D. S.H.I.E.L.D.'s the main star of every issue. The issues that don't have Coulson in it or Fury Jr. in it have other S.H.I.E.L.D. agents in it. I know Maria Hill, for example, I believe has been in every one of these issues. A lot of the storyline going on right now actually has to do with the office politics of S.H.I.E.L.D. And a struggle between Maria Hill and somebody that some of our listeners may not know of named Daisy Johnson, who was Nick Fury's handpicked successor. But this is the story that directly follows the introduction of Nick Fury Jr., shows him in S.H.I.E.L.D., shows you Coulson every month, and then it also has Hawkeye, Black Widow, even Hulk in it on a regular basis. But the ironic thing here is it cracks me up because you'll notice all three of these titles have Avengers in it.
Yeah.
Which I'm convinced is to sell books. Because really, when you break these down, Avengers is Avengers. Secret Avengers is S.H.I.E.L.D. An Uncanny Avengers should be X-Men Avengers team up.
Okay.
And you'll see somebody like Maria Hill may show up for two pages in Avengers and Uncanny Avengers. And somebody like Hawkeye is all over the pages of Avengers, and so and Captain America's all over the pages of Uncanny Avengers. But we know that those heroes, for example, aren't going to be on the show. So, yeah, this story here did not lead me to spend my money on Avengers or Uncanny Avengers.
No. So this is where I want to say we should have an Avengers – or not Avengers. We should have a S.H.I.E.L.D. comic book. There should be a comic book coming out this month or early October called Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. And it should be – it could be regular universe Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. where it's Coulson from the regular Marvel universe and – but he has his team. And you might see May. You might see Fitz and Simmons in that.
There's a great opportunity for that here. I do want to throw in one more here. The other one that they don't mention that they should take off Avengers or Uncanny Avengers and replace it with Wolverine. Because the current run of Wolverine, of the 6, 7, 8 issues that they've had to date, about half of them have had Nick Fury Jr. in them. And he's part of the current story arc. And basically you get this picture painted that Nick Fury and Wolverine are drinking buddies who care about each other. But so you do learn more about S.H.I.E.L.D. and Wolverine than you do in Avengers. If you're excited about Coulson because of the MCU, you're probably going to like Secret Avengers. There may be times where you're frustrated because of the fact that Nick Spencer hasn't written your Coulson yet, but he's writing a Coulson.
Yeah.
And Coulson does have some really good scenes, especially when you get into some of the later issues where you're like, okay, that's my Coulson.
I wonder how long it's going to be before they do start getting into an actual more of a tie-in with a comic book series.
They did it with Arrow, as we've talked about before.
Yeah. Yeah. In the meantime, we are going to get to see them weekly. So it's not like there'll be a dearth of things, you know. We're going to see new stories of Coulson and his gang weekly. So it's not like I'm saying, oh, I need a comic so I can see more. Which is like you mentioned Star Wars. For me, the Star Wars comics between the movies, I loved them because they just kept me going. And without them, you know, I would have, you know, really wanted more with those characters. But I got the comic book every month between the movies. So...
But I'll also argue that that was a different time.
It absolutely was.
When I was a kid, I didn't have, probably until I was almost a teenager, a copy of Star Wars in the house. So, you know, if it showed up on network TV once a year, maybe.
That was a huge deal.
Massive deal.
Oh, yeah.
Where today, when you use that Star Wars example, I can go into my living room right now, throw any one of the 6 movies in, and if that's too much for me, you know, if I don't want to see Luke or Anakin, well, I guess I can throw in an episode of Clone Wars, which I've got available to me. And if I don't like that, right at the moment on my DVR, I've got a Star Wars tech documentary sitting there. So, I mean, there's just so much choice now where... When I was 7, you needed something like that comic to fill that space. I'll be honest, with Secret Avengers, I'm getting to the point where I'm reading Secret Avengers for the story, not because of Coulson necessarily. I'm excited about the next issue of Secret Avengers, to be honest, and it has nothing to do with Coulson. It has to do with Daisy Johnson.
And that's good. That's a good story. That's a good thing that you got a good story.
It sounds like we could probably wrap up this comic book discussion at this point.
I think we absolutely can.
I think we probably came out as being bummer guys, but again, we're big, huge fans of this stuff. We wouldn't be doing this right now if we weren't. It's not like this was painful for us to read these comics, but
there's just not much to recommend.
Well, to be honest, when I read these, I was comparing them up against Secret Avengers, which by the point that I was reading these, Secret Avengers had evolved to the place where it had a real nice thing going for it. Because I'll argue that Secret Avengers number 1, it wasn't there yet. And Spencer hadn't had enough time to kind of draw out the story that he was looking for. But by the time I was reading these MCU tie-ins, I was reading Secret Avengers for me right when it was beginning to heat up. So I was comparing those against those. And I don't want to sound negative. I liked Uncanny Avengers. So I'm comparing these to things like Uncanny Avengers. I'm comparing these to things like All New X-Men. Just books that I think are fantastic. So if you take a fantastic book versus these, it's just going to feel like a marketing piece.
What else do we have here then? We don't have any listener feedback. I asked people about the comic books and we didn't get anything back.
It's because nobody's read them.
Right. Well, with all that said, Daniel, I guess I just have to ask you, do you have any last words for our listeners?
Chum chum cracker.
Thank you for listening to Welcome to Level 7. We'd love for you to join the conversation. You can leave us a voicemail at 1-77-55, the word level, and then the number 7. That's 1-775-553-8357. You can also like us on Facebook, facebook.com/welcometolevel7. 7 is spelled out. Follow us on Twitter, where we are level7pod. 7 is spelled out. Or email us directly, feedback@welcometolevel7.com. 7 is spelled out. Visit our website, welcometolevel7.com, for news, reviews, and links to our RSS feeds. Our theme music is The Light Fantastic by J.S. Earls, jserls.bandcamp.com. And again, thanks for listening. Well, with all that said, Daniel, I guess I just have to ask you, do you have any last words for our listeners?
Chum chum kakroom? Chum chum kakroom.
Yeah, that'll work. A little more gravelly.
I can do it like a lady. Chum chum kaboom.
Sounds like it belongs in a show tune or something. Like Mary Poppins.
Chum chum krakoom. Just a spoonful of chum chum krakoom.
Chim chimini, chim chimini, chum chum krakoom. When you need a sound effect about a dragon falling from the sky, that's what you use.